This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1. It's Bob Fetrakis bringing you The Other Side of the News. I'm here with Fractivist Greg Pace, working on a community bill of rights. Greg, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Bob.
And what's been happening in the world of fractivism?
Well, I think if you look at Ohio, first of all, the good news for me is that in southeastern Ohio, where I've been pretty active over the last 5 years, off and on. My kids live out there in Guernsey County, which is one of the ground zeros now of Ohio fracking wells, which is, it's slowed down a bit over the last year with the economy. But you're still getting all these waste facilities that are being created, and people in these communities in southeast Ohio, which is, this has always been their bread and butter, just like coal industry and so forth. But now they're starting to wake up to how destructive these things are, and the waste facilities, how polluting they are, mainly the radioactive aspect of it, because it's so undefined as to how the state of Ohio regulatory system measures or determines what's proper radioactive levels to use for to do what type of waste disposal with all this fracking waste, especially the solid stuff, the drill cuttings, which is, thousands of tons of it for each well.
Well, let's go into some detail here for the listeners. By waste facilities, what do you mean?
Well, solid waste is the big one in Columbus that perked our ears up back in 2013. That's why we created our Columbus Community Bill of Rights organization. Actually, we were a radioactive waste alert in the beginning, and we had a series of library meetings. We brought a few hundred people in from the public and got them interested in what was going on. But the waste disposal that got us was in the Ohio Soil Recycling Facility, which used to be the Integrity Drive drum dump on Integrity Drive next to Alum Creek, down south of I-70. It's always been a toxic waste dumping facility for 50-gallon drums of toxic waste, but the EPA had to remediate it twice over the last 20 years for leaching this toxic stuff into Alum Creek, a watershed creek right adjacent to the site. Now, since they deregulated the radioactive content of drill cuttings from shale waste from shale wells, it's been authorized to cap this landfill with these drill cuttings. And now there's also four other, actually this is one of, I think, four facilities now that Ohio Soil Recycling has with another company they've partnered with around the state. And so we're worried about it because we have no idea what kind of radium and uranium and all the heavy metals are in these drill cuttings when they bring them to dump them, because the process that they went to determine how radioactive this stuff is was a very, we think it was an improper process. It's the University of Iowa came out last year with a study that really said that this protocol they used to measure radium in these drill cuttings, and even the brine, that the liquid waste gets as little as 1% of the radium-226 amount. So it's really a poor process that they're using. And so this is happening all over the state now. And so this is our concern. But this is what's perking the people up in southeast Ohio. There's three organizations now. There's the Concerned Barnesville Area Residents, which Barnesville has multiple issues. They also have a reservoir that they suck water out of for fracking. And then they have a radioactive waste facility they want to use there. And the people really put up a stink, so they kind of got that kicked out of there. But now it's in Cambridge. And now the Cambridge commissioners are up in an uproar because they didn't really know that this was going on. And down just a couple of miles south of Cambridge in Byesville, the city of Byesville actually unanimously signed a resolution that they don't want this waste in Byesville. And then in New Concord, there's an injection well. I think it's going to be one of the biggest in the state, if I recall, that now there's a group in New Concord, which is where John Glenn grew up, of course, where Muskingum University is, but just 4 or 5 miles south of there, they want to put a huge injection well in down near Cumberland, I think. And so there's a group there. So people are finally starting to wake up and get concerned. And it's taken them a while, but it's finally starting to happen. And right now, the Ohio Community Rights Network, of who I'm on the board, we are going for a couple of constitutional amendments into the state of Ohio Constitution, so that when we create what we call these community bills of rights, which are basically local laws that restrict or ban very harmful corporate activity that we do not want in our neighborhoods or in our communities, mainly such as radioactive waste dumping from fracking, injection wells, even fracking wells or factory farms, water withdrawals for anything really, just any kind of corporate activity or activity that we don't want, but the state of Ohio regulates and says we have to have, so there's no path to stop it. So when we create these community bills of rights, local laws to ban this stuff, if it gets on the books and the people voted in and the industry takes us to court and sues the city or the town to get back into the facility, it loses, and we lose in the courts because the state of Ohio has regulatory primacy. And so these amendments, these Ohio state amendments, will turn that around. If we can get these on the ballot, people want them. And basically the Supreme Court will not be able to keep kicking us out of having our local laws because the state of Ohio is doing a horrendously poor job of protecting us from these industrial activities. And it's actually two amendments. The first one is basically what I just said. Basically, it will allow local communities all over Ohio to have our own local laws when the Ohio state regulatory system regulates them. It's basically stepping up our home rule. And then the second amendment is so that unincorporated communities like townships, rural communities that don't have any structure, they're direct wards of the state, and so that they will have the powers of initiative and referendum so that they can keep an injection well off a school, a ballpark, or something like that. And so these are very important because we've got five communities that have already passed our community bills of rights in Ohio, and we've got four counties now trying to get our county charters on the ballots in our counties so that we can get our community bills of rights to protect our counties countywide. And now the fight is that three of the counties actually got enough signatures to get their bills of rights or their county charters on their ballots. The Board of Elections unanimously turned them down, even though they had the signatures. And so that's where the fight is now with the lawsuit that came out. And I had a legal brief last week that I sent, and that was pretty interesting. It had a lot of history to it.
Talking to Greg Pace, fractivist, very active in keeping Ohio clean, particularly with clean water. So what is the crux of the lawsuit?
Well, it's kind of a second act from last year. And last year, Secretary of State John Husted there was four counties last year that kept their county charters off the ballot.
So these citizens go out, and did they have enough signatures?
Yes, they had enough signatures. However, basically,
so they did everything correctly, got the signatures, and what?
They did everything correctly. They got the signatures, and when they turned them in to the Board of Elections, they were refused because John Husted determined that the content, basically the subject matter, the content of these charters was illegitimate, and it wasn't proper. And basically, he way overstepped
the bounds. Well, Gregory Pace, you accept that. He is the justice of the Supreme Court of Ohio, and he had the full support of all six other justices, didn't he?
Well, he's not a justice, for one thing.
Then how? But he's Secretary of State. Okay, so how does the Secretary of State, who's not a justice, not in the legal system, decide to keep stuff off the ballot?
It is pretty strange. In this case, it would appear that he just felt like he could. He felt like he had that power.
He felt he was standing up for the rights of unnatural citizens because he's not a bigot. There's flesh and blood citizens like me and you, and then there's these unnatural legal fictions known as corporations, and somebody had to stand up for the undead. Are they dead?
That's basically what he's doing. That's what we assume that he's doing. We're quite confident that that's exactly what's happening.
So let's take a look at his election coffers. I bet those legal fictions will reward a man who understands their needs and their rights as legal fictions.
I'm sure they do. I have not looked into how much money he's getting from the oil and gas industry. I know that even Ted Strickland, when he was governor, I can't remember how much it was, but it was pointed out that he even got a lot of money from the oil and gas industry. So it's, you know, it's not just a partisan industry or issue. Republican, it's Democrat and Republican. I know we've been into the State House. Carolyn Harding, who was really the co-founder with me of the Community Bill of Rights here in Columbus, she visited every senator in the State House, every single one, a couple of years ago. And, you know, they're all bought out. They don't even want to hear it, really. I was almost kicked out of one office of the guy up in Findlay. I can't remember his name is. But he was so worked up that I came into his office and sat down and was explaining the radioactive content of shale waste. After about 3 or 4 minutes of me telling him what I was there for, he interrupted me and said, We already took care of that. You know, and then he was, I'm so sick of you people coming into my office who have no backing, you have no scientific knowledge, it's all, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, basically, I stood up and gave him my stuff and walked out. Then a month later.
Well, that's a month later, what?
Well, I had a little confrontation with him on the floor of one of the hearing rooms in the State House because this was Cliff Height. That's who he was, Cliff Height, Senator Height. And I actually put a letter to the editor in his paper, in the Findlay Courier or whatever it is, just basically saying that how bad of a day he must have had that day when I came into his office as a citizen and was trying to tell him about this radioactive stuff they're dumping all over the state. And he basically, you know, just almost threw me out of the office. But then I was at another hearing at the State House, and during one of the breaks, he walked past me, and he saw me, and he told me I had no right to put that article in his paper. I'm not even a constituent.
Yeah, it's, you know, Gregory Pace, we live in a society that doesn't have a First Amendment and no constitutional rights and no free press. So as you was, what gave you the idea that you had a right to write a letter to the editor in a free system? I mean,
well, the reason is because I'm in Columbus, he's in Findlay. I'm not a direct constituent. I'm not in his constituency per se, but he's on the Natural Resources Committee. You know, the I think it's the Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee. Make all the decisions for all the oil and gas. So yes, I had an absolute right to be in there and tell him you are my
what
my
next
committee
paper
here,
had
you know?
An absolute right to publish your letter.
Oh, he was telling me I didn't have that right. He was basically he's telling me I was out of line. I was out
of line
to do that. So then he proceeded to tell me he's a football coach. I guess he used to be a football coach. He goes, I know how to play football. Remember that.
You know, Gregory, so. did he tell you to drop and give him 20?
He might have, if he just continued. He might have done that. I don't know. But that's what we get with the State House. We had a symposium back in, I think it was May, the Freshwater Accountability Project, had a full day of symposium. We had 7 speakers about the health effects of oil and gas and when people live near it and what people have to deal with it. All day long, we were in the State House symposium. Carolyn Harding, again, sent an invitation out to everybody, every legislator, and we sent emails to them. We sent everybody got at least 2 notices and requests to check the hearing out right in their front door where they, you know, said nobody showed up. One senator showed up for about half of one of the sessions. 5 or 6 stopped to just talk for a minute and left. You know, they were walking through all day long. And so, you know, they don't want to hear it. They just do not want to hear about the bad side, the downside of this thing that pays them the money.
Well, is the state properly regulating it? Don't we have the EPA, the health department, all of these bodies all over protecting us from... I mean, it's not like they gave it to the Department of Natural Resources, right, or anything like that.
Actually,
Gregory Pace. You're listening to WCRS 98.3, 102.1. Go ahead.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because... I was really trying to help people a couple of years ago, trying to get to the middle of this radioactive concern because, you know, initially we were worried about all the water that was being used in Ohio for oil and gas. They came in big time in 2011, about 5 years ago. And, you know, they're up to 15 million gallons of frack now. It was up to 3 to 7 million gallons when they started. Now they're up to 15 million gallons of some of these things. And it's all, you know, about a third of that stuff comes up and they have to get rid of it. Per well.
Yeah, because I remember early on it was 3 to 10. You're saying it's significantly grown?
Right, and Fred Alcock.
15 million gallons for one hole?
Yeah. $15 million. That's some of them. That's not all of them, but that's some of them. And Ted Alk of Frack Tracker, he keeps track of this data of water usage and the trends and everything. And it, every year, every single year, it goes up more and more per well. And so it's a real problem. And
in many ways, they're going deeper, which will mean that they're bringing up more radioactivity.
Right, right. The shale, you know, the old conventional wells, when they went straight down, even when they fracked, almost all wells now are fracked. But, you know, they'd go down into the pool of shale straight down. There was just one little area. And that's, so most of the drill cuttings that came up weren't the shale. They were the dirt coming up to get to it. Now, they go down 1 to 2 miles, and they go anywhere from a half to three and a half miles into the shale. So you get three and a half miles of shale, radioactive shale coming up. So you get these hundreds of thousands of tons of drill cuttings. It's all radioactive.
And for our listeners, Gregory Pace, define what drill cuttings are.
Well, anytime you drill a well, you know, the stuff that, you know, the dirt and the rock that you have to grind through to get down to dig the hole, that stuff comes up as cuttings.
And could that be radioactive?
Well, in the shale it is. It's all radioactive in the shale. Black shale, they used to consider using black shale for uranium mining. That's how radioactive it is. They decided not to because they figured it wouldn't be worth it.
Well, we're disposing it in a responsible way, are we?
Well, according to the State House, we are. But according to everybody else, we're not.
But those are just the scientists there. What do they know about radioactivity?
The scientists, you know, we've got one locally here, Julie Weatherington Rice, who you know quite well. She always wondered how they could possibly use the protocol that they use to measure the radium-226. The radium-226 is what we're worried about more than anything, because this is water soluble.
And so are people to some extent all over Ohio, right? Because it's the off gases from us give us radon, and virtually every house in Ohio in this area has a radon detector. As one of the leading causes of lung cancer in the United States.
Yeah, Ohio is one of the highest radon states. I mean, there are parts of Ohio that are more radon
right. You can't even, go 10 feet down in a basement without putting a radon detector.
And now they're starting to get some data to show that, you know, people, even people that were relatively close to a well, are ended up with some radon. There's a lot of data that's coming out, health data, but the radioactive question is still not been resolved. You know, Julie Rice was trying to figure this stuff out, how they could possibly use a protocol that we use for clear drinking water to get all this dirty stuff and measure it, excuse me, for radon, because really to get the most accurate measurement, it takes 21 days with a gamma spec test, as a scientific test with a spectrometer. And they aren't really doing this. And
not just a quick Geiger counter?
No, Geiger counters won't do it. To get what you really need, because the limits are so low, the picocurie limit in Ohio for drinking water is 5 picocuries per liter or per gram of radium-226, which is pretty low. It's like 50 picocuries per liter, I think, in Pennsylvania, so we're a lot lower. But to get readings that low, you need to have the 21-day hold with the spectrometry and the quarantine and all that stuff. But what they're using is the 901.1, they call it, which is, it was designed for basically clear drinking water to check for radium in drinking water. And when you put all these total dissolved solids from brine or for drill cuttings, what they do for drill cuttings, they grind it up and add water to it, and they measure it. But what they were finding is it gets as little as 1%. Of what you need to find.
Well, Greg Pace, I've heard a lot of times say, well, all they're doing is bringing in brine. And when I think of brine, I think of salty water. I mean, but this is beyond that. How many toxics and carcinogenics, as well as radioactivity, is in this water?
Well, it's really salty. So a lot of it's like 10 times saltier than seawater. So that's why they call it brine, because it'll kill anything, basically. But that's just the salt. What they put down in the hole, you know, there's over 700 chemicals on the list that different companies use. And so every company probably uses close to 100 or whatever in the different phases of the fracking, what they put down in the hole. And so what they end up with is this briny water with all these chemicals. It comes up with formaldehyde, with benzenes, the BTEXs. And, you know, benzene, is low, the limit's as low as 5 parts per billion in drinking water is the EPA limit on benzene. And they've come up with brine in Pennsylvania that's 27,000 picocuries per liter. So it's over 3,000 times the drinking water limit. That's the stuff they put down in injection wells. But in Pennsylvania, they don't have injection wells. They bring them to Ohio. They put this stuff that's 3,000 times the drinking water limit in radium-226, dump it in our 200 and over 200 injection wells here in Ohio.
So they don't dump this stuff in Pennsylvania? They bring it into Ohio?
No, I think the last I read, I think they had like 6 injection wells in Pennsylvania. And it's a little hazy as to whether it's all because of the geology in Pennsylvania. It's not as conducive to these wells as in Ohio. I kind of am a little frowning on that because they have thousands and thousands of wells there. So why can't they have injection wells?
Yeah, no, I've been through both states. They're very similar in some ways. And I'm sure you're right. They've got leftover wells, do they not?
Right. Well, they've got a lot of unplugged wells. We do in Ohio. We got over, ODNR estimates, I think, that we have at least 4,000 unplugged wells in Ohio. So they're undocumented. They don't even know where they are. But the problem is all this radioactive waste is now being spread all over Ohio, and people are starting to perk up about it. They start to understand what it is and say, why would we want this near our hot schools and everything? Why would we want it? No, we wouldn't. Nobody ever told us radioactive activity is any more safer than we thought it was 70 years ago. There's absolutely no reason. And so now we're trying to fight it. You know, we're trying to say that, well, if we don't want this radioactive stuff, we know it's going to kill people in our community, and we ban it. We want to make sure that it's not going to get thrown out of the courts when, you know, Chesapeake Energy or Anadarko, whoever comes back in to sue to get back into that facility, you know, they'll throw us out of the courts.
Well, how can people fight it? Are there contact numbers? Are there specific tactics?
Well, we have, in Columbus, we have the Columbus Community Bill of Rights. We're the best contact here in the Central Ohio area. Our website is www.columbusbillofrights.org, www.columbusbillofrights.org. And we have a contact email page on there. We've got a lot of information on there explaining about the OSR facility here, or the radioactive, the waste dump that they want to dump drill cuttings on. And as far as we know, they said 3 years ago they weren't, but now he's broadcasting it on his website, so we're assuming there probably are at this point. But the Columbus Bill of Rights, Community Bill of Rights, we've got a charter amendment for Franklin County, or I'm sorry, Franklin County petition to create a charter for Franklin County. We don't have a charter. Two counties out of 88 in Ohio have charters. And so we need to create a charter to get our Community Bill of Rights language into the Franklin County Charter. And this language bans all oil and gas extraction production activities. It bans wells, conventional, unconventional, horizontal wells, injection wells, any kind of waste dumping, any kind of waste disposal at all, pipelines, compressor stations, all the infrastructure. And that's what these community bills of rights do. They say, we don't want this stuff. And, you know, the elephant in the room now, we really try to focus on the local stuff, the local harms, the pollutions, the water risk and the water pollutions that occur. But really, the global warming thing is the whole thing now. I mean, this is what it's just taken so long to start people to understand this. But now we're realizing that there's so much methane just thrown out of these wells. That the whole system, the whole natural gas system, but these wells throw as much as 12% of the methane directly into the atmosphere. They burn off a lot of it and create more carbon dioxide. They create asthma, pollutants, and all this stuff to try and get rid of it. But the air pollution aspect is just, it's incredibly bigger than the EPA ever thought before. They're starting to admit this.
So. Does it seem a little ironic with alternative energy being so cheap that the state of Ohio, including his governor, have backed away from the clean energy and really wants this dirty, filthy fracking, the dregs of oil and gas sucked up from deep in the earth?
Coal, too. Coal isn't completely dead yet. But, yeah, I call us the dinosaur state. You know, we're just a bunch of dinosaurs. I've been to 2 or 3 hearings in the state house, you know, the renewable energy standards and a couple of the fracking ones, the bills. And You know, you got Bill Seitz up there. He's the guy we usually see. He's the head of the Energy and Natural Resources Committee. At least he was last year. I'm not sure if he's still up there. But he just threw us back at the floor. He was like a pitcher. You know, he'd pitch at us, and we'd try to hit him. Even if we hit him, he'd try and hit us with the ball anyway.
He was pretty. Well, you got to catch him when he's a little less defensive. His nose is so far up the ass of the fracking industry. You get a crowbar, pry him out, and then maybe he can talk. Okay, well, anyway, that's my perspective. Bob Petragas, not Greg Paces.
In Columbus, we got two petitions going, one for an ordinance, a city ordinance in the city level to ban all oil and gas activity out of the city. Our main concern is radioactive waste disposal. And then also now at the county level, we've got a petition out for a county charter to get on the ballot sometime next year. If we vote this charter in, it'll have a community bill of rights in it as well to ban these activities and to abolish all corporate personhood, basically, for anybody who violates these laws in our community.
All right, and if they want to get involved in the state constitutional struggle, how do they do that?
That's the Ohio Community Rights Network. That's OHCRN.org, I think. You can Google it, Ohio Community Rights Network. And right now we're actually trying to get our two constitutional amendments, trying to get 1,000 signatures. If we get 1,000 signatures, we'll turn it into DeWine's office, the Attorney General, for consideration as a statewide petition. And when we do that, then it's going to take a lot of petitioners. But right now, we need help petitioning for our county and our city ordinance. And so please get on our website, ClubbusBillOfRights.org, and you can contact us. We've got an email to contact. We also have a contact form. And we need help with petitioners. We really need petitioners to get these on the ballot.
All right, Gregory Pace, and just briefly as we wind up, how did you get involved in this? It seems like it consumes a lot of your time. I see it just about everywhere.
Consumes a lot of my energy every day. I read a lot of stuff. But I was involved with the Peak Oil Group here in Columbus, Central Ohio Relocalization Effort, CORE, back about 2005 to 2007. So that got me started. Then in 2011... Simply Living here had a showing of Gasland, Josh Fox's movie. And that was right when the first horizontal well was being drilled in Cadiz, I think, in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I saw Gasland, if you haven't seen Gasland and you want to understand what people go through, see Gasland. It's 6-7 years old and it's still just as powerful as it was then. And that got me going. And then I started going to some hearings and got started.
All right, got 1 minute left. Why don't you repeat those websites or contacts for the groups?
It's Columbus Community Bill of Rights. Is at www.columbusbillofrights.org. And the Ohio Community Rights Organization is at OHCRN.org. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. If it comes up wrong, just Google Ohio Community, or I'm sorry, Ohio Community Rights Network.
All right, Greg Pace, thanks a lot. We appreciate your work, and thanks for being on the other side of the news.
Well, thank you, Bob. I really appreciate you letting me come up here and talk about all this, so it's great.
All right, tomorrow's Labor Day. You may have to take a little time off.
Definitely.